First Line Report, News and Analysis. Marvin Kalb, CBS News diplomatic correspondent, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Good morning. Oil, the fuel shortage, so-called, finally factors in the formulation of American policy in the Middle East. That in 1 minute.
When money grows on trees, then you won't have to bother saving any. But until that happy day comes, there is a very simple way to save. The payroll savings plan sets something aside out of each paycheck before you even see it and puts it into United States savings bonds. Whatever you're saving for, education, travel, retirement, savings bonds can take you there. And payroll savings makes the trip easy and sure. Join the plan that makes dreams come true. The payroll savings plan for United States savings bonds.
Up until recent years, the United States did not import a great deal of oil from the Middle East. American companies were deeply involved in the oil industry, but American consumers were not deeply dependent upon that oil. They had more than enough coming from other sources. All that is now changing. The American consumer is demanding more oil, and American companies are now trying to persuade two or three key countries in the Middle East area to increase their production of oil. Iran and Saudi Arabia are pivotal in this respect. The Shah of Iran was here recently, and he agreed to increase Iranian output. No problem. The Shah is not an Arab, and he maintains good relations with Israel. In fact, ships oil to Israel. Saudi Arabia is another problem. It has probably the largest oil reservoir in the world, 150 billion barrels in known reserves, perhaps as many as 600 billion barrels under the sand. These days, Saudi Arabia, a vast country with a limited population, produces 7.2 million barrels of oil a day. American oil companies are asking the Saudis to increase that output to 20 million barrels a day by 1980. By that time, one-fifth of that phenomenal output will be consumed by the United States, according to official estimates. That makes the United States dependent to a considerable degree upon Saudi Arabian oil. The Saudis don't need the money, don't need to increase their output just for America's sake, but they may. And they may because their security interests are tied to America's, and the Nixon administration is now in the process of pulling together a massive arms deal, partly to soak up some of those extra Saudi Arabian American dollars. Lately, however, the Saudis have begun to impose a diplomatic, a political price, on continued cooperation with the United States. That is, the warning that if the U.S. does not lean on Israel to give up occupied Arab lands, then Saudi Arabia may not choose to meet America's expanding oil needs, money and security or not. No American official is yet ready to yield to Arab oil blackmail of this sort. The administration's support of Israel remains strong. Arms deliveries continue, may even increase. Diplomatic backing still solid. On July 26th of this year, UN Ambassador John Scali cast another American veto to head off an anti-Israeli resolution. But just as no official is ready to yield to blackmail, no official is also ready to ignore the Saudi warning or the possibility that the Arabs who have oil will begin to use it effectively as a political and diplomatic weapon against Israel. And so, slowly but steadily, the State Department's leading Middle East expert, Joseph Sisko, has been trying to educate the Israelis to some of the new facts of life about oil and policy. Up to this point, Sisko has not been willing to link the two. He still says he does not link the two. But implicitly, the link is being drawn. In two interviews in recent weeks, Sisko has told the Israelis that they must, in one case, prime the pump of negotiations, and in the other case, recognize that oil is a factor in American policy in the Middle East. Certainly not the controlling factor, nor even a dominant factor, but a factor which is bound to grow more and more important as American oil needs continue to increase. Now this message.
A professor of psychology revealing the complexities of man's behavior. A student drinking in this knowledge and expanding her world. An attorney guiding a client through legal tangles. What do these people have in common? They were all born with cerebral palsy. The professor, the student, the attorney, and the messenger and the clerk as well have all proven one important thing. They're functioning in spite of their handicaps. When you're born with a brain damage that results in a condition we call cerebral palsy, it takes a lot of determination and courage to surmount that handicap. But that's not all it takes. United Cerebral Palsy is an agency that helps, but not without you. This is Richard Kiley. A lot of people with cerebral palsy will make a better life for themselves because when United Cerebral Palsy asked, you were there.
First Line Report. Have a good weekend. I am Arvin Kell, CBS News.